Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Broadcasting. You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative. They do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, I first started in statewide talk radio back in 2009, and one of my favorite all-time conversations, one of my favorite all-time shows that we did here on Montana Talks was, I ended up calling it A Tough Christmas. A Tough Christmas because, you know, one day I'm in Billings and I run into the great Tough Harris. You know, grew up in Lodgegrass, Montana, graduated from Colstrip, played football for the University of Montana, became a pro football player in the NFL, but just an all-around awesome Christian man. And I ran into him, and He tells me about his good friend, Josh Stewart, who at the time was the head coach for the Lodgegrass, a boys basketball team. So we had Coach Stewart in here. We had Tough Harris in here, and it was such a great time. And anyway, why not have and celebrate another Tough Christmas here as we head into the wonderful Christmas season. Tough, good to see you again.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Aaron. It's been, it was last year, right?
I think it was
2 years ago.
Yeah, actually, I think it was like 4 years ago.
Was it that far? Oh,
because I think it was in, or maybe it was 2021. I think it was after the COVID craziness started.
That's right.
But still early enough where the COVID craziness was still going on in parts of the country. But we talked with Coach Stewart about how here he has, like what, the best team since like the 80s or early 90s in Lodgegrass. They go all the way to the state championship, and then the game gets cut off before they can officially see who wins the state championship.
They were about to warm up, and they cut the game.
They canceled right there in March of 2020.
Fans were coming in, and it was wild. It was a wild scene, but they were slated. Probably were going to win it. They had a great team that year, and but they didn't get to play the game.
Yeah, but then they went back a year later and pulled it off, and it was just such an incredible story. But another great man of faith, Coach Josh Stewart, and in fact, we missed you in Lodgegrass. One of my favorite shows this year was we did the show live from Lodgegrass from the grocery store there and the market with Dylan Dawson and crew, and we had Coach Stewart came down and said hi. Mayor Quincy, what a warrior that guy is, huh?
Yeah, Quincy, he's been a little bit of everything down there. He wears a ton of hats. He's the mayor. He's a dog catcher. He's the sheriff. He wears a lot of hats, and he does a good job. But he's starting to replace it with different community members and training them. And he's doing an excellent job there.
You know, what's amazing about Mayor Quincy Dabney, right, of Lodgegrass, is that he was doing really well. He was making good money. I think he was working at the coal mine. And he put that all aside. He said, you know what? I'm doing really well, but my people are struggling. My town is struggling. My community is struggling. And so he put down the coal mine shovel, if you want to call it that, and picked up a broom and started cleaning up the town and started carrying a gun to clean up the town in other ways, too. So it was so remarkable to have him on the show. All right, stand by. Tough Harris in the house with us for the full hour. Wait till you hear everything he's got to share with you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Tough Harris. Tough Harris is the director of an incredible leadership program called One Heart Warriors. And before we jump into anything else, Tough, tell our listeners, for those who who may not remember what you do with One Heart Warriors, because if I'm not mistaken, you have representation from almost every tribe all across Montana that are taking part in this leadership program, right?
Yeah, leadership program, discipleship training. We help individuals in five areas. We help them in physical, spiritual, mental, relational, and financial. So all of those five areas, we feel if someone can improve and increase in those five areas, they're going to grow and be healthy and have a holistic approach to health and healing and leadership. And so, we work out 6 a.m. in the morning, and we eat healthy. We teach cooking classes. We memorize scripture. We read a lot of Bibles, watch sermons. The mental part, everyone always asks a little bit about that, but it's a mentality, you know, taking words like can't out of your vocabulary and putting things back in, just that mentality that says anything's possible. And so we train them, help them in that area, relationally, helping individuals with their relationships, you know, whether it's a work relationship, dating relationship, family relationship, and then last is financial. In those five areas, if individuals can get healthy, we believe they can be leaders anywhere, but we would love to see them go back to, you know, places like the reservation.
Yeah, and you've had some, I mean, you've been going for a few years now. You've had some pretty cool leaders come out and rise up out of this program and then do some pretty cool things.
Yeah, actually, we were mentioning Josh Stewart earlier. Josh went through the program. He didn't finish the whole program, but he went through, kind of got kicked off, went to Skyview, started coaching there, had success as an assistant coach, then ended up in Lodgegrass and had a lot of success there. And so he went through the program for a second. Quincy Dabney, Mayor Quincy, he was a part of it when he was leaving coal mining. Didn't quite know what he wanted to do just before he was riding on the ticket. He went through the program. Merville was, we call him the first Avenger. He was the first warrior that went through. He's has his business down in Lodgegrass. Also,
which business is that?
It's the barbershop. Yeah.
The barbershop. Yeah. Cause they've got a whole bunch of cool things going on in Lodgegrass. They've got the barbershop. They've got like a Christian owned coffee shop now. And then you were telling me they just put a new arbor in Lodgegrass, similar to the one in Crow Agency as well, right?
Not the arbor, but they put in, it's called the Chickadee Learning Center. And so that's the child, for the kiddos. And it's specifically for grandmas and moms who are taking care of children that may not be their own, maybe extended family, but they're overloaded with a lot of kids that they're taking care of. So they created that specifically. They kind of get the first dibs on those spaces for those kids. And if there's any left over, then they'll take anybody in the community. And it's something that's very much needed. You know, there's big families, small homes, a lot of families in one house. And so that just kind of alleviates and helps that pressure in the community. So that just went up. The barbershop, the coffee shop, and other businesses are just kind of starting to pop up all of a sudden. And it's no coincidence, you know, the work Quincy's been doing, cleaning up the town, clearing the lots, getting ready. He's put a lot of work in to get ready for these opportunities and their start. You can kind of see them all budding right now, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing what leadership can do and to inspire and motivate people. Because Lodgegrass, our listeners are familiar with this, of course. Lodgegrass was being targeted by the Mexican drug cartels. They were right in the thick of this fight. And so when Mayor Quincy, when we had him on the show from Lodgegrass earlier this year, he talked about how, okay, I was living a great life. I was doing well. I was making good money, but I saw what was going on around me. So he started carrying. He started carrying a firearm to be able to defend himself because he was speaking out against what these cartels were doing to his community and his people. And then he started, organizing community trash cleanups and everything. And he's a man who doesn't shy away from his faith either.
Yeah. No, he's a hero in my book. He's one of the top, one of the best in just loving people. And so when he first started cleaning up the community, eventually realizing, man, there's some depths to this, that the cleanup goes beyond just, you know, trying to bring a beautification to the streets. He ended up running into some of the cartels, some of the individuals that were there just established doing, you know, some nefarious stuff. One of my favorite stories with him is they were doing one of the home raids to break up one of these operations. And he asked if he can go in first because it was a local kid he grew up with. And he said, can I go in first? He realized this might not end well. So he asked to go in first and they said, no, you know, we're not sure. He said, please let me go in. I know him. Let me talk to him. and they wanted to put a jacket and everything on him, and he just said, I'm prayed up, I'm ready, I just want to talk to him, and so he goes in, talks him down, he's nervous, and he's like, this ain't gonna end well. He's talking about it, and he just says, no, he said, think about your future, think about your family. He said, we're trying to clean this town up. He said, you can be a part of the solution. He said, but for a temporary time, he said, just turn yourself in. Just let this happen. You know what you've been doing. Talks the guy down, walks him out of there. Just one of the most incredible things. It's really a lot of what he's doing in the community. In my opinion, it could be a movie. I mean, it's just
I was going to say that earlier. You could make a movie about Mayor Quincy.
Oh, yeah.
And Lodgegrass.
Yeah. Just the sacrifice that he's taken for his family. And on top of that, he's a nurse for his wife too. For many years, he was doing dialysis with his wife in home care, and he was the one who got trained to do it. And so, wow. I mean, like I said, with a lot of hats. One of my heroes, just amazing guy who just loves people, and it goes a long way to help a community.
That story about ending that standoff with law enforcement reminds me of the Freeman standoff back in the 1990s. That got all this worldwide attention. How did that eventually end? He ended up becoming Lieutenant Governor Carl Oves, rode in on horseback and went in and talked to the guys. Yeah. And that's how that thing ended. It's just somebody walking in that room, somebody just talking to people on a personal level. And so, if you can end a standoff like that, imagine what you could do in your friend's life or in your neighbor's life, but just sitting down and walking in and talking to them or riding up on horseback. More to follow with Tuff Harris.
We'll be back with the Best of Montana Talks right after these messages.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're going to have to talk a little bit of football here with Tuff Harris as well, especially, as we get closer towards the end of the season and of course, into the semifinals and more of the playoffs for the FCS. Let's keep talking about the great stuff happening in Lodgegrass, Montana, the community that had been so hard hit, of course. In the middle of the drugs and the drug cartels and everything else going on, inflation and a lot of challenges hitting the entire state, but especially folks in Lodgegrass. Tuff, you were telling me something about a Christmas store that you guys just put together. And I know CLDI in Billings, they have done because our church has been, happy to support the CLDI Christmas store where people will donate toys and then CLDI sets up like their own Christmas store for families on the south side of Billings. And then they can come in and they get the toys or Christmas presents for free, but they get to go pick out and actually shop for what they want to give their kids. So it's kind of a cool deal. Is that basically what you ended up doing in Lodgegrass?
Yep, it was. They gave us the idea, and they actually had a little overflow of toys one year and said, hey, would you consider taking these and maybe starting a Christmas store? And a gal in our organization, Darcy Rykowski, she was like, yeah, we would love to do that. And so she ran it in Pryor, and it was our first year was in Pryor. She ran it a few years there. And then we decided to go into Lodgegrass because we had some work there. And so we went in, and some of the locals loved it. They adopted it. We're starting to train them. And really, that handoff is taking place. They're going to be doing it whether we're there or not. But this year, we got to go to Lodgegrass and do it. And it was our second time there. Just an exciting opportunity for community members to come in, make a purchase. And really, the way we do it is they pay a little, and their dollar really goes a long way in that inside that Christmas store. So we want them to still feel, they're purchasing, they're taking care of their family, they're doing it with an opportunity to come into a store that just has tons and tons of fun stuff for them and their families. There were some people that already reported us. They were getting turned away from other programs. Either they ran out or didn't have enough, and they were just worried and didn't know what they're going to do for Christmas. And so when we ran that Christmas store, they were excited and realized Christmas would be a great time this year because of the whole presents thing and just not having enough for their family. But this year they're excited that they'll have something.
Well, it's, when we joke about today being a tough Christmas show with Tuff Harris, yeah, for some of these kids, it really is or was going to be a tough Christmas. But, you help deliver and make it a real nice Christmas for these kids. That's so great to hear about. Tell our listeners a little bit about just, you growing up in Montana, because I know, you know, I enjoy it. I've run into you across town while I'm running into it, you know, kids' orchestra concerts or different things like that. And one time, I forget how we got into talking about this, but we got to talking about how when you grew up in Lodgegrass and then in Colstrip, and how you really were torn between two different worlds. One of your parents was white. One of your parents, Native American. You're not only Crow, but you're also Northern Cheyenne. But you talk about being torn between both worlds, because I've even had listeners, I forget how it came up there too, but I remember we had a conversation and we had, you know, people call into the radio show one day, and, you know, one woman called in and she says, well, I'm Native American, but I look white. So I get discriminated against by this side because I look white, but then sometimes I get discriminated against again by this side because I'm Native. And so talk a little bit about growing up and how torn you felt as a young man, but then also how you overcame that as well.
Yeah. Any kid on growing up anywhere wants to fit in. They don't want to be pushed out of any groups or singled out. But it was hard. It was very difficult. It caused a lot of anxiety, a lot of identity issues where I didn't fully know who I was. I knew I'd grown up on the reservation. My mind thought Native American. I'm on the reservation. I'm right in the middle of it. But I'd be reminded that I was a white boy. Or I'd, I actually went to school in Hardin for a bit, and they would call me the Indian kid. Then I went to Lodgegrass, and then they found out I was Northern Cheyenne, so they'd call me, you know, Northern Cheyenne. Then I went over to Colstrip and graduated. My last 2 years, it was in Colstrip, and I graduated from there. And they were calling me, you know, the Crow kid from, so everywhere I went, I really didn't have, I didn't really fit in. It caused a little bit of anxiety and hesitation, but later I realized, man, that was a huge perspective. I grew up in kind of multiple worlds to be able to see it from different angles and not fully fitting in. But the thing that really allowed me to fit into these spaces was sports. Sports was the ticket to, you know, if you can shoot a basketball, if you can run, you can jump, you get picked, you know, first or second. When they line you up against the wall, you know, they don't care if you know, what color, what creed, whatever. If you're a good ball player or a good good athlete, they're gonna pick you. And so that's where I felt a little bit not my full identity, but just a lot of hey, I can be accepted if I, you know, if I work hard and use my gift to try to fit in. And so that gift really opened many doors, including and everywhere I went, it just opened up a door for acceptance from a lot of people.
And then I think, and again, I forget what brought up this conversation, but if I remember right, you were telling me that you would read the book of Proverbs in the Bible. There was something about the book of Proverbs in the Bible. Because maybe I was asking you, I said, how did you get through all the moving around? How did you get through being, you know, split between two different identities and become successful, you know, successful in sports and then successful in this organization that you're building out? What was it about the book Proverbs, and how often would you read it?
Yeah, my dad gave me a challenge. He said, you know, my dad read Proverbs. I read Proverbs very often, and he challenged me as his son. And, you know, a son wants to be like his dad or his grandfather. And so I took that challenge, and I started reading Proverbs every day. There's, you know, 31 chapters. There's, you know, 31, you know, a lot of months have 31 days, 30 days in the year, within the month. So yeah, it was kind of like my spiritual multivitamin. You know, it was basically is one a day, you know, just a little bit. It was practical. It was really, you know, as I read it, it's like, you know, do this. The wise person does this. The fool does this. And, you know, I wanted to be wise and not be a fool. And so that really guided me through a lot of my childhood adventures, trying to figure out life and what it's all about. And
it's very black and white.
Yeah.
Proverbs is, right? Yeah. It's none of this fluffy stuff that we get a lot today. Well, if you feel this way, if you feel that way, Proverbs is very, well, this is how it is.
Yeah. It lets you know if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that'll happen, you know? And so that it did, it really guided me. And so it gave me that hunger for the Bible and the Word of God. And so I started exploring around everywhere else, you know, and you know, stories like Samson, David, Saul, like all these Old Testament type characters, Elijah, they were just doing some incredible stuff. And the New Testament, you know, they had this kind of a more, you know, following Jesus and new principles that didn't kick away all the Old Testament, but really fulfilled it. And so I as I was growing up, I liked the Bible. Then I started loving the Bible. And then I said, you know what, I can give my life to this. I can follow this. Because every time I apply these and believe in it and pray, it's like things are happening. Whereas I couldn't make things happen just on my own. It was much more difficult. But as I was, reading the Bible, sticking with the Proverbs, still do it every day today. It just keeps feeding and helping me grow as a leader and as a person.
You know, you talk about things are happening, things are moving, things are, you see, the benefits, you see the positive results after following what you read and following what is written, right? It's so cool because when I look at athletes like you, and then, guys like, so you're a Grizz, you played for the University of Montana, then went to the NFL. The Bobcats are having an incredible season. I mean, last year, it was 1 year ago yesterday, I was at the Grizz semifinal when they beat NDSU. Wow, that has to be one of the best games I've ever attended in my entire lifetime. This year, the Bobcats have an incredible undefeated season, but it's fun. I'll catch up with guys like you doing incredible things in our community. And then there's guys like Dane Fletcher in Bozeman, the Bobcat great, who's speaking up on behalf of his community and speaking out against what he sees as the injustice in his town, right? And so it's cool to see people that, like, yeah, we know them for what they did on the football field, but it's what's going on right now. That's the game that really matters.
Yeah. I got to meet Dane. He's an incredible individual, and on and off the field. On the field, he was a beast, a monster that just, it was hard to stop him. And but off the field, yeah, just that same tenacity, taking it into the community to tackle some of these issues and bring awareness to a lot of things that are very important, including mental health. And so I really like him and look up to him in a lot of ways for what he's doing. And as far as the Bobcats, hard to say as a Grizz, but yeah, they're rolling, man. They're looking good. They have such a running game from the quarterback all the way to all the backs that they have. It's going to be hard to stop them. I think if they stay healthy, they have a chance to roll all the way through.
That's what I think too. I thought they could have almost done it last year because they were strong last year, and until the Grizz came out towards the end of the season and just went all the way to the national championship. But the Cats could go all the way again and then maybe even pull the whole thing off. Do you still stay in touch with some of your old football players? Or any current NFL players as well?
No current NFL players. I'm getting to that point where most of the guys are all kind of aged out and stuff. But I do have a couple guys I'll follow and talk with, follow up with, and some of our old University of Montana guys. We'll get together for different things. I went skiing last year out of Washington and in Idaho, and we'll catch a game here and there. We'll coordinate. We'll get back together, get the boys back together, just to see what kind of dad bods we're trying to fight against these days.
Yeah, speaking of that, man, I ran into you and your crew from One Heart Warriors at the gym one day, and I was like, holy cow, those guys are getting after it. So why is physicality and why is physical training such a key part of your One Heart Warriors program?
Yeah, it's tangible. You can see the results. Like when it comes to spiritual or mental, sometimes you don't really, you feel, but it's all internal. But when we go work out, currently we're in a session, it's we're only 5 weeks in, and one of our warriors has lost 5% body fat already.
Wow.
Just eating healthy, exercising every single day, and committing to the process. And yeah, muscle goes up, fat goes down, you feel better. And so we always tell people, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, relationally, financially, it all ties together. They're all tied together in some way. And so if you could see it in the gym, you could feel it on your body, we let them know that's happening throughout the rest of it as well.
I found the same thing through diet and nutrition, that if you can't say no to something over here, how are you going to say no to something else over there? If you can't be disciplined in this category of life, how do you think you're going to be disciplined in another category of your life? And so it's this warrior mentality that you're talking about. All right, hold that.
We'll be back with the Best of Montana Talks right after these messages.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Good Christmas Eve and blessings to all of you here today as we prepare to gather with family and friends. I know all those good little boys and girls that have worked so hard to get on Santa's nice list are eager for his arrival on this Christmas Eve. And some very good news out yesterday from the Montana Department of Livestock, who has received a certificate of veterinary inspection for Santa's reindeer. And those reindeer are cleared for arrival on rooftops and lawns across Montana for Christmas. Just like livestock and pets, Santa's reindeer are also required to meet movement requirements when crossing state and international lines. Fortunately, Rudolph and the entire reindeer team received a clean bill of health from the Alaska State Veterinarian's Office, having met all disease certifications and identification requirements. They pass that information on to Montana health officials. And Montana State Veterinarian Dr. Tani Szymanski reviewed the health certification and issued the required import permit number for toy delivery. And while Santa may have some weather to deal with in other parts of the United States and across the globe, things look pretty good on the weather front as Santa begins to make his journey across Montana. I would just like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I'm Wayne Nordline.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Seth Harris is the director of One Heart Warriors, a former NFL football player. In fact, Tuff, you went on a Super Bowl run with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was that like being actually there on the field for a Super Bowl?
It was incredible. I didn't realize how big that event was. It's a big event, you know, as a spectator watching it, but to be a part of the back end and how much it takes place throughout the entire week. We were there for the whole week, and we had media day, and we had all kinds of events and stuff leading up to that. It's hard to stay focused, you know, on the game and the preparation, but it was incredible. We got to play in Dallas Cowboys Stadium, and it was I mean, celebrities all around. I got to see Evander Holyfield and Owen Wilson and all kinds of people. Talk to him on the sideline, just like kind of surreal. You know, everybody's like so many eyes. I think they broke the record at that point for 36 million or something like that viewership. And it was just intense to be a part of that, you know, the center of that moment. And just an awesome thing. You dream as a football player to possibly be in a national championship, let alone a Super Bowl. It's just to be there was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I should add, if you want to jump in on the conversation here with Tuff Harris, if you've got a question or a comment, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. Tuff, part of the reason why I thought about doing another Tuff Christmas show was you sent me a link, I think last week, to a new mini documentary that is out. Tell our listeners about this mini documentary, because I watched part of it, and this is powerful stuff.
Yeah, it was. So when Nick Vujicic and his team came, they asked if we wanted to do some sort of documentary or capture the moment. I said, absolutely. And so we did 7 events in 3 days. We were on the Crow Reservation, the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. We ended up with an event in Billings, and just spreading hope, spreading God's love and his hope for the people that they're not forgotten. And so we put together that documentary, and it was really a guy from Nick's team that just, he nailed it. He just kind of captured the essence of what we wanted to say in it. And it was awesome. It was something that we can use as a tool to just let people know what's going on the reservations, as well as like the hope and the build of these leaders that we're training, that we're going to do this. You know, we're not waiting for someone to help us. We want to take the initiative as young leaders, as young warriors, and some old who still have fight in them, you know, to be able to change their communities.
And when you, well, before I get to that question, Nick, you talk about Nick. I think if people could see Nick's photo right now, they would know who he is. So yeah. Nick, he is the guy. He looks like he's just in incredible shape. He has no arms and he has no legs.
Yep.
No arms, no legs, and he's you know, a powerful speaker. But so I'm watching this documentary, and you took him to all these places, and they would set up a table in the gym in front of all these, you know, school kids, whether they're elementary, high school, middle school, whatever. And they would just set him on the table, and there he is talking to these kids. So it's pretty crazy when you watch the video of it. But when you mention, you know, that when you would do these events, you would talk about what's going on the reservations. For our listeners that aren't on the reservations, what do you mean by what's going on the reservations?
Yeah, we're kind of in a state currently where there was a period where there was kind of that annihilation, like, hey, we're trying to settle the land. The settlers were kind of a land grab, but going through that, there was Indians or Native Americans in the way of some of that pursuit. And so there was a period of war and fighting and kind of that annihilation, like, hey, how do we remove? And then they realized, no, we're not going to do that. Half the country was like, it just doesn't feel right. Doesn't look right. These are humans. And then they went through an assimilation period. That assimilation period was basically cut the hair, you know, change the language, kind of assimilate them into our culture. And that's maybe a possible way to kind of do away with that. And then they realized they can't do that. There was so many atrocities that came from the boarding schools in that assimilation period. And then they went to the reservation period. And that's where we're currently at today, is like, it's just like, well, let's put them in a somewhat quarantine, let them, you know, govern themselves, take care of themselves. But we're stuck in a place of, you know, we're looking for federal or state dollars or something external to help us. And that causes a lot of problems. You know, the entrepreneurial spirit, the idea of how do we recapture what we had before. I don't know if we can ever go back. I don't think we will. But how do we move forward? A lot of this stuff is so new to us. It's first generation. Anybody starting a business is going to be first generation business, whereas anybody else starting is probably third, fourth generation. You know, that's kind of in the bloodline, in the family. But for natives, they're still kind of spinning their wheels, like, what do we do? Where are we at? And so that reservation kind of mentality causes a lot of issues. And so that's a lot of the work we do.
Rural America has been struggling, you know, regardless, economically, especially here recently. Then you add drugs and alcohol on top of that. And the whole state of Montana has been getting hit by fentanyl and meth and been in this drug cartel fight in particular. But the reservations have been harder hit, sometimes twice as hard. Right. So you combine economic challenges with all those other challenges. But as I understand it from your One Heart Warriors, you know, organization, it's like, okay, regardless of how we got into the situation that we're in, what are we going to do about it? What is the warrior mentality to fight back against these challenges that are facing all of us, whether on the reservation, off the reservation, native, white, you name it?
Yeah. A lot of people have heard that. I think it's the adage that says, if you feed a man, he'll eat for a day. If you teach him to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. But I would take it a step further to say, if anyone who wants to help, teach us to own the pond so we can help you feed the world. There's a different mentality when it's individuals stepping up to say, it's no longer just about me, but how can I help humanity? How can I help my brother? How can I help my neighbor? And so when you have that mentality, I think your leadership and your growth is much more for you personally. Whereas if it's a self-focus, you're always left with, do I have enough? Is my family secure enough? Which is important. But if that's the highest level that you're trying to get to, a lot of times you forget about your gift, the gift that's been given to you. Can you share that with the world? And so that's what I would tell people. You know, if anybody wants to help, come with a mentality that says, hey, if I was going to help my son, what would I give him? I'd give him everything I got, you know, not just money. You would not just dump money on your son. You would say, here's the principles, here's the values, here's really important things to me that is going to, when I die, that I want to give to you. So that mentality, when people come, is extremely helpful.
Yeah, and I think the documentary, I love this phrase, I love this title, Arise Warriors. I mean, if that could be like something that everybody thinks heading into 2025, Arise Warriors, like, okay, how do we fix the challenges facing our country? How do we fix our own personal challenges? Well, Arise Warriors. I've got the full audio from this documentary available, but I think the first minute or so Tuff was telling me is kind of like the trailer for this Arise Warriors documentary. Here you go.
A lot of the issues are passed down generationally. There's been all kinds of atrocities, from abuse to neglect to annihilation to assimilation, that really just stripped who they were as Native Americans. A lot of the issues today that people deal with lack of opportunity, joblessness, fathers and mothers not being in the household, that period is where we're at now. But the spirit, that warrior spirit to fight, that's still intact. The people, the men and women that God has called to fight once again with a different heart, with not a victim mentality, without dragging the past in. A native who becomes healthy, who becomes that warrior, will change the world.
Yeah, so that's just the first minute or so. It's about 20 minutes long. Tuff, what do you want to tell people, or what do you hope that this documentary will do?
Two things. The people who are not from the reservation, they'll be able to see that there are people on the reservation that are becoming those warriors, that are stepping up to be the fathers, to be the leaders, to change their community. And that's inspiring for anyone. It doesn't matter where you come from. You watch something like that, it just inspires you to say, man, you know, you can see someone else's life and someone else trying from a place where they just don't have as much opportunity and that stuff. And it just encourages kind of that Rudy Rudiger type, like you watch that story, it's just going to get you fired up for something, you know. So there's that. And then on the other end, any Native American from any tribe across the country seeing that, I would love that their heart see that and say, man, I want to be that warrior. I want to fight for my family. And I don't want to just wait for someone else to do the fighting or fight in the wrong way. You know, I think we all have this idea that we have something in us. And if we don't know how to direct, you know, our energy somewhere, we're going to fight our family. We're going to fight against, you know, local government or something. We're just going to fight and don't really know where to put that energy. But when you put it into something that can build, something that can raise your family and other leaders and warriors up, I would hope that a Native American would hear that and say, man, I want to do that. I want to be
especially
that.
Especially young men. I was listening to Pete Hegseth's book. He's been, you know, nominated to be Secretary of Defense. And he kind of talked about that, too, where young men have this innate desire to be warriors. So are we going to direct them to fight for good or to fight for something bad? And how are we going to put that warrior spirit to work for our country? All right, stand by. Back right after this short break.
Christmas show.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
State of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative. They do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got just a quick few minutes left here. Let me sneak in a quick phone call here. We've got Larry on the phone lines from Missoula. And I think Larry, you've told us about your program that you're supporting for veterans with post-traumatic stress and some different options to help treat post-traumatic stress. Anyway, did you have a quick question or comment here for our conversation with Tuff Harris? Thanks for the call.
Yes, Tuff, as Aaron said, I work in the Veterans Court with folks that are trying to assimilate. And we found that working with this RTM protocol, it treats PTSD. And listening to the introduction into your video, that is certainly something that would help in your program. If we can deal with some of the issues of PTSD with Native Americans, both men and women, we can certainly add to the benefits of your program.
That's very interesting. I love his use of the word assimilate there. A lot of veterans or people coming off of active duty military, you know, here you've spent the last 20 plus years or the last year in a combat zone or whatever, and you've got to come assimilate into what feels like a totally different culture. Or you left the military, and now you've got to assimilate into the modern-day corporate culture or the college campus culture. But, yeah, your thoughts kind of on post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Yes, somebody growing up in a traumatic situation, you're going to have to deal with that. So your kind of thoughts, is there an element of PTSD that you're seeing on in reservation communities in particular, childhood trauma or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. There's quite a bit of it, and I think a lot of people don't actually recognize or even know that they have it. They just realize I've been through some stuff, I've seen some things, and yeah, they get stuck. They're learning, their development kind of stops right there, and so they don't know how to move forward, and so they'll go, you know, 10-20 years was just stuck in this state where their development stopped when they were their kids. And, you know, some of the people we work with, we realize, you know, you have to go back to those moments to be able to help them heal, help them kind of work from that spot. And then once they find, you know, avenues and pathways to start, you know, growing again, start learning again, it's a difficult situation, but it's absolutely worth the time to be able to work with individuals and, you know, recognize that some of these things are very similar to, like you said, someone coming off of war, off the battlefield, and how do you get back in knowing what you know now and seeing what you've seen before.
And likewise, I think the Native American community could teach a thing or two to our veterans community as they have on, in how you welcome warriors back home. I mean, the welcome home ceremonies at the airport when a Crow warrior gets home from, you know, overseas is remarkable. And then, you know, sometimes they'll have a sweat to help them kind of purge whatever they feel they need to purge from their experiences. And so I think the broader veterans community can learn a thing or two as well.
Yeah, yeah, the community really gets behind veterans and warriors, people coming back from the battlefield. And that's kind of our historical experience was... Anytime the battle, anytime there was a battle, or anytime that, that they were able to achieve these war deeds and kind of show the community the valor and different things in the midst of some of the skirmishes or chaos that was all around them, and it was continual, but they found a way to honor these warriors and uplift them, and that's how you became a chief. There was war chiefs that they demonstrated on the battlefield these acts of being heroes and valor, and they would bring it back, and so it's still alive and well on the reservations. You know, when someone from the military service comes back, how big those celebrations are, you know, because we don't really have many places to do that. We try to equate it to the basketball on the basketball court or somewhere, but how do we do that in a modern day? And so an actual warrior coming back, someone who's fought, it's definitely a big celebration.
Yeah, it's incredible to see, that's for sure. We've only got about a minute or so left here, but you've got a pretty cool event taking shape for 2025 in the Washington, D.C. area, it sounds like.
Yeah, Nick, and a lot of leaders around the country are coming together. There'll be people that are working in human trafficking, people in the drugs, people in their expertise are going to come together. We're going to have a moment in Washington to be able to pray and just call America to come back to a place of, they originally wanted to call it repentance, but really it's just a returning back to trusting in God. You know, we have it on our money. We have it in a lot of the, you know, the institutions all around D.C. that says in God we trust, you know, and so how do we actually as a nation come back to this place? Letting scripture, things like Proverbs, things like our foundation of how this country was built, coming back to those things. Maybe not everything, but definitely in God. You know, and so that's the idea. Nick and his team are going to be leading that up. They're putting a lot of time and effort and energy. And we were going to do it this year, but we postponed it because of all the
election craziness,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to do that.
How do we bring our country back to God and refocus? Yeah, that's incredible. About 30 seconds to go. What do you need? How can people across Montana be involved or help out? How can they get a hold of you? What do you want to share?
Yeah, no, I'd say, we have a website, oneheartwarriors.org. That's a way to just start communicating and get good conversations going to see how we can possibly work together like this individual is, we just called. And, anything that we can do in a collaborative way to help people on the reservation, to help them grow, to help them succeed, we're all about that. So,
Tuff Harris, great to see you. Thanks for freeing up your time this morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, Aaron. Thank you.
I appreciate all your time. And thanks for your time as well.
Are you paying?